This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. In studio is former Congressman Charles Malosa. He served three terms on Capitol Hill, former state lawmaker as well. He's been around the political block for a long time in Louisiana, Napoleonville native, and he is the grandson and great-grandson of sugarcane farmers, and he was once head of the Sugarcane League, and he is here to talk about politics, and this is the political season. 1 month from tomorrow, we'll do it again. We'll be voting again in a statewide election, and the governor of Louisiana is on the ballot. Some people thought he would have won re-election by now, including pollster Vern Kennedy, who was brave enough to predict that John Bel Edwards would receive 55% of the votes. Last week he predicted this, and as we know, he got 47, and actually it was 46.6. And in second place, Eddie Rasponi, 27% of the votes. He's in a runoff. He's gotten the endorsement of Ralph Abraham, who finished third, and it's a race between a conservative Republican and a moderate Democrat. Now, Charlie Malosaw was characterized as a moderate Democrat in his day as a politician, and moderates don't seem to be doing very well in either party right now, Charlie Malosaw. Why not?
Well, I wish I could tell you I knew exactly why. When you're out there, when I first ran for the Congress, when I ran for the State House, I was a moderate. Of course, then when you go and look at races consequential since that time, I find that if you're a moderate Democrat, the left wing of your party sometimes doesn't necessarily love you, and of course the Republicans aren't going to love you. So it's a person without a party sometimes, which is a frustration, I guess. Most of what people say is they're moderate. They want to just see government work. They want to see people talking to each other and compromising and doing the things. And then when it comes time, just like they say they don't like negative ads work, so people run them.
Well, you saw that when you ran against one David Bruce Vitter, and of course there were negative ads against Mr. Vitter, and he won re-election in 2010 despite a prostitution scandal. Just 3 years earlier, his name was on the books of a Washington madam, and he won re-election in a conservative state. And that was a harbinger of things to come as far as our state moving red. When did this avalanche of redness occur at Louisiana in statewide elections?
Well, it looked like it really it came on even heavier when Barack Obama became president. I had people that were friends of mine that immediately didn't like me anymore because the head of my party was a black man. People can say whether they like that or not or agree with that or not, but that's the reality of what I experienced during that period of time. The ads that were run against me in the senatorial race weren't about me, weren't about my voting record. It was all about the President Obama and Obamacare and immigration and all the other issues. And, of course, the president's picture popped up every time that there was an ad that was anti-Charles Malosaw. So is it about that? I guess the only thing I can conclude.
And you actually voted against the Affordable Care Act.
I did. We had problems. Of course, I tell the story. A group of Republicans led by Steve Scalise came to me during the committee hearings and said, look, our leadership has told us we cannot vote or we cannot introduce amendments. Would you blue dogs help us and introduce amendments? And as I told Steve, I said, look, here's the deal. I got elected to help perfect legislation. That's what I do. That's what you're supposed to do. So if I've got amendments, the chairman's only going to allow me so many, and each time that I ask him to have an amendment heard that I think warrants being maybe attached to the bill, whether it wins or loses, he's going to want to know at what point I'm going to vote for his bill. And so what I'm telling you is if we're here to perfect legislation, let's do that and get a bill that works for the people. Does affordable care work for the people? Even less so than now that this administration and the Republican Congress has worked on it over the last couple of years. But had it been perfected in the beginning where the Republicans didn't like it and the Democrats didn't like it, that meant it probably would have been good for the people overall and work better.
877-217-5757 or talk at talklouisiana.org for Charlie Malasaw, former state lawmaker and former member of Congress who lost his last race to one David Bruce Vitter in 2010. And then, of course, David Vitter probably ran his last race in 2015. He only got 44% of the votes against John Bel Edwards. Last time in the primary of 2015, John Bel Edwards got 40% of the votes and three Republicans received 58%. And yet Edwards was thought to be the favorite in that race by most of us. This time around, he gets 47% of the votes and three Republicans, and counting Livewire Landry, got over 51%. The margin for him to make up is much smaller this time, but yet people are saying that he is in dire straits, that he's in deep trouble. How do you see it?
Well, you know, it would have been nice to get that over with and behind you and to go back to your office on Monday morning or Sunday morning and start doing the work of the people. Instead, he's got to go back and he's going to have to get out there and run a hard campaign. Can he win it? Yes, he can. I'm with you. There's only three points plus one that he needs to get to the 50% plus one. And I think that can be achieved.
He has almost no Democratic surrogates, though. Rasponi's going to have hundreds of Republicans, including the president. Who's out there as a Democrat who can campaign and help John Bel Edwards?
Well, I'm afraid that the only place you get the help is in the Democratic strongholds, and that brings us to the conversation of gerrymandering. Yeah, and about race again.
Well, Cedric Richmond will be campaigning for him and can help him in New Orleans where he needs all the votes he can get. But Hillary Clinton's not coming in. No. Barack Obama's not coming in.
Nope.
Bill Clinton probably won't come in. There is a possibility we might see the former president.
Well, hopefully people will look at it and say, I'm voting for the man or the person or the woman, if it's a woman, and they're not going to be needing to be encouraged to vote. I mean, Ronald Reagan came down here with John Brough's race against Henson Moore years ago, and basically, as I told John Brough on the phone when Reagan made his second trip, I guess, I said he needs to come a couple more times because people are saying, I don't need somebody from Washington to come in and tell me how to vote.
Well, Donald Trump's going to make one or two or three trips to Louisiana. And the president, who often fabricates, even to a guy who loves him, Roy Fletcher,
fabricates.
Who will be with us tomorrow, he says, yes, he can fabricate. Roy Fletcher, who loves the president, says he fabricates. And he fabricates certainly when he says that John Bel Edwards is going to take your Second Amendment rights away from you.
Well, that's amazing. I haven't seen a thing that John Bel Edwards has done that pertains to the guns or taking away of guns or the rights to own and carry guns. It's amazing what my chief of staff is over here.
Keep going.
Anyway, he's done nothing. Yet the president comes in and says he's going to take away your second rights amendments. I mean, your Second Amendment rights. It's ludicrous. It is.
877.
It's amazing that people believe this stuff.
217-5757. That's what the president says about John Bel Edwards. He's doing a terrible job, and he's going to take your Second Amendment rights away from you. That's from Donald John Trump. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, good morning. Mr. Malasaw, do those racist remarks about Obama indicate just why Trump is so popular in Louisiana and why an 80% white St. George area voted against not just a black mayor, but even the white businessmen?
I can't say that that's incorrect. I don't have any factual knowledge other than the fact of reviewing political races and what's going on. And that's a summation on my part, and I don't think I'm alone in that summation or thought processing.
Doug on Nicholson. Doug, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I enjoyed hearing the congressman's description of some of the process that happened in passing the Affordable Care Act. It's unfortunate that so much of our history that's happening in front of us just isn't known by the voters. And it brings up a really important point, which is that all the problems with the Affordable Care Act could have been fixed had the Republicans been willing to help do that. but they never were over those 8 or 9 years, and that's just a matter of public record. Here in Louisiana, the Medicaid expansion was only possible because of the Affordable Care Act, and that's been a huge fiscal benefit in addition to saving a lot of lives. And it's on the ballot in the governor's race, I have no doubt.
Eddie Rasponi probably will roll back, if he can, the Affordable Care Act, but it would seem that would be hard for anybody to do at this point. The genie's out of the bottle. But Charlie Molossal will respond to this. Doug believes, and Doug's a wise guy who's called this show a few times, Doug Daigle, that the Affordable Care Act is one of the things on the ballot. Not literally on the ballot, but will it be tweaked or overturned? Will Louisiana not take the Medicaid money? We'll talk about it when we return with Congressman Molossal after this brief timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. There are people who believe that if you're moderate in today's political life, you're roadkill. Charlie Molossal campaigned as a moderate Democrat in the year of 2010, and he ran against David Bruce Vitter, who was seeking re-election to the United States Senate under a prostitution cloud. And it didn't work out for Congressman Molossal, who had great success previously in his career, being elected 3 times to the United States House of Representatives. In fact, he was so popular in his home area that he beat a name that nobody would want to run against in South Louisiana, Billy Tozan Jr. So Charlie Molossal is a formidable politician, but being a moderate is not what it used to be. And he is here to talk about that and more. And your number is 877-217-5757. Moderate Democrat John Bel Edwards takes the Medicaid money. And then over 400,000 people benefit from it. And it's almost fully paid for by the federal government. And yet it seems that his political advantages of doing that were minimal. If, in fact, it may have even hurt him. Why?
Well, you know, and before I get there, as a Democrat in the State House, as a Democrat in the Congress, I was a person that voted with business quite often. However, as a Democrat running for Congress, the business community immediately vacates you as a viable candidate or from giving you money because you're a Democrat. So they basically put you in a corner and say, even though that's not what you were, that's what you are now. So, you know, it's a frustration that occurs. And if you go to lobby now, if you don't vote 100% with lobby, they don't support you. This is going back now and starting to look like what the business community used to accuse Edward Grady Parton and his guys are doing of trying to control things in Louisiana. And that pendulum's going to swing, and one day it's going to start swinging back again, and hopefully it'll get to a right position in the middle where people see government working for them and not working for a party or not working for either business interest or working people interest, but for the people as a whole.
Well, the head of LABI, Stephen Wagesback, who once was the top guy in the Jindal administration, he was the person sought out for by Lane Grigsby to run for governor of Louisiana. And after Wagesback said no, it was Grigsby who went out and got Eddie Rasponi in this race. And Rasponi, unlike Wagesback, had the capacity to write a lot of checks, and he wrote about $10 million worth of them. He's in a runoff. That enabled him to get past Ralph Abraham, who didn't have those resources. And now Rasponi, who is pretty much a blank slate. Now, that can be good and bad. We really don't know much about him other than he wants a constitutional convention, but says no reason why other than we need a constitutional convention, not what would be addressed in that convention. What about being a blank slate? Is that hard for John Bel Edwards to run against somebody who has a minimal record, if any?
It is, because they will take John Bell's record, both as a legislator and as a governor, and use it adversely to run ads against him. That's the negative ad aspect that nobody likes, but everybody pays attention to. And when you talk to people on the street and you say, well, you know, I mean, I've got people I know that didn't vote for John Bell, and it was just because he was a Democrat, because Obama, because of the giveaways. And it's not necessarily giveaways. It's a matter of making people a better society. I mean, who doesn't want their employees to show up for work every day and show up for work mm-hmm. healthy? Those same people will vote against that proposition because it might cost them something.
Charlie Malasaw, at your service, 877-217-5757. And Lane Grigsby had a big night. He, of course, was also backing Cleo Fields. His candidates for the Bessie board won. And he backed Steve Carter, who's in a tie for second with Franklin Foyle in the race against Beverly Brooks Thompson to replace the term-limited Dan Clater, who was with us yesterday. Again, 877-217-5757. Ryan at LSU. Hello, Ryan. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Mr. Malasa, I'm from Pierrepont, Louisiana, and I went to Assumption Parish in Napoleonville, where you're from. And I'm wondering if you can give an analysis on how our schools in Louisiana are being cut of funding so much that our faculty is being reduced. And what would you say to the Louisiana legislature in order to encourage them to appropriately fund our schools?
Well, when I was in the state legislature, one of the things we tried to do was to make sure that education was funded, not only K through 12, mm-hmm. but also higher education. And, of course, during the 8 years of Bobby Jindal, all those things were cut. School teachers had to pay, well, they were footing their bills for their supplies in their school, their classrooms, and that hasn't changed, but at least this governor has helped get at least a pay raise, nominal, but a pay raise, first time in 10 years. From a standpoint, if you want a society that's going to be productive, if you want, and I tell people, a lot of people that say they're pro-life, they're more pro-birthers, because once that baby's born, they don't seem to care whether it's educated or whether it's got food on the table for it or any of the other, or has health care. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of we saved the baby. So it's a matter of this is a society that takes care of its own. I grew up in a Catholic household, and basically my parents used to say, you know, we help those that have less than us, and that seems to be lost somewheres in translation or somewheres over the decades because I still believe that's what we should be doing. And that's what government should be helping with to make sure that we bring everybody forward and not just certain classes of people or colors of people.
877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. David, you're on Talk Louisiana with Congressman Malasa.
Good morning, gentlemen. Republican Senator Ron Paul of Kentucky just said on a national cable channel a few minutes ago that the Republican-Trump tax cuts have raised revenue. But you know what the Republicans never say is, yeah, revenue goes up when you cut taxes, but the deficit goes up more, and it's a disgusting Republican big lie. Congressman, what do you think about the irresponsible, unfunded Republican tax cuts that will send this country one day to fiscal doom?
Well, it used to be that the Republicans were the ones for fiscal reform and fiscal responsibility. Then the Blue Dogs were the only ones I could find when I got to the Congress that were talking about balancing the budget and trying to pull down the deficit. Clinton did it. Obama did it, even though Obama had to bail out this country from near collapse, and nobody went to jail. That was amazing when all that transpired in 08. But from a standpoint of fiscal responsibility, and what they've done is all they've done is given back to the upper 1% monies to go back and buy the stocks to their companies to just kind of put themselves in better financial position. They didn't really provide any great expanse of new jobs or any great investment in new products or new anything. They just put that money back in their pockets in the form of buying their stock back and holding it.
Well, the deficit is now approaching $1 trillion, and this is with good employment numbers. And inflation very low. It's we're getting 75 cents, or we're getting a dollar's worth of government for 75 cents is what it comes down to. And a good point made the other day was that we spend more on interest on the debt than we do on defense.
Yes.
And those numbers at some point will explode. And Donald Trump said promised in 2016 he would balance the budget, and he has not been held accountable to this at all. And now he wants zero interest rates, zero, actually sub-zero.
Well, he's in business. He uses that money.
Well, and he knows that it would be a temporary stimulus to the economy and would get him reelected probably. When it comes down to it next year, despite all this impeachment noise, will the economy ultimately determine whether Trump is reelected?
I think it will, if it's still holding. I'm concerned right now with everything that's going on in the world, particularly in the Middle East, and the effects that it has on the rest of the economies throughout the world.
Yes, imagine if President Obama had done in Turkey what this president has done in Syria. It is a mess. We'll be back with Charlie Melanson after this pause for the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. Former Congressman Charlie Melanson is in the House, and he ran for the U.S. Senate year of 2010, lost to David Vitter. Has remained active in politics. He was head of the Sugarcane League. He had other jobs, and a listener asks, Congressman Lawson, did David Vitter actually get in the way of your employment after he ran a tough race against him?
Yeah, he and the senatorial committee, Republican senatorial committee, called several places that wanted to hire me. Came back to Louisiana and stuck their nose right in the middle of it again.
So they kept you for more than one job?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that just politics, or does that go beyond?
No, I've never stuck my nose in anybody's. After the election's over, it should be over. But that's the way David Vitter operated. That's why I've never really had a lot of appreciation for him.
He has a reputation of keeping score.
Apparently. It's a shame. That's because as much as I used to enjoy politics, the flavor that I've seen in the last couple of years is not one that I relish, and I discourage young people from getting into politics because it's just dirty and nasty, and it's vindictive. And I used to work at the Sugarcane League. I left that to run for the Congress. If I would have not won, I'd have been out there looking for a job again or starting a business or doing something. Vitter didn't give up anything along the way. Yet, I know that he did the same thing to Chris John when Chris John was after that election, and he beat Chris.
But Chris ended up being head of the Mid-Continent Oil and Gas Association.
Yeah, several years later.
He landed on his feet. But David Vitter's reputation was that he kept score and he held grudges, and it's worked well for him, except for one election.
Well, the amazing part is I find that, as much as because we have Bernie Sanders, who's a socialist, running as in the Democratic field. We're socialists. As I've told people, what I've seen of the Republicans in Washington, Nazi fits a description, communist, Marxist.
For whom?
For the Republicans that I've experienced and what I've seen them starting to act like. It's about power.
I think it's about one man in power primarily, but these other Republicans are scared to death of criticism.
Oh, it's amazing.
Now, the last Friday in Lake Charles, to my knowledge, the only Republican who was not there was Billy Nungesser, who is trying his best to be a, quote, moderate Republican. Let's see where it goes. But he did get more votes than anybody else. He did, 848,000 votes last Saturday. But he's giving it his best shot. He doesn't want to get involved in this governor's election because he's a lieutenant governor, and he has to work with the governor, whoever the governor is.
And plus, Billy's probably looking to 4 years down the road.
He probably is, as is Jeff Landry, as is Garrett Graves. John Kennedy, don't count him out, even though he'll be 72 in 4 years. Many Republicans are looking at that race, It's one of those things where secretly you know they want John Bell Edwards to win because if Rasponi wins, he's running for re-election and blocks them. 877-217-5757. Henry at the Country Club. Hi, Henry. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Congressman Charlie.
Good morning.
Mr. Jim, I've just been sitting here listening to Congressman Charlie, and I wasn't going to call in, but the more I hear him talk and show us the kind of person he is, and I think about the opportunity that Louisiana screwed up by, because we had an opportunity to have him up there representing us in D.C. He's somebody that'll work with anybody to get things done, to keep the train moving. But what we've become is ridiculous. And so I hope that the people listen to Congressman Charlie, and the next time someone like him comes along that's willing to work with both sides and everything, for God's sake, don't kick him to the side of the road for some whoremonger like Vitter, or, you know, at the behest of somebody like Trump. One thing to remember, and I'm not going to call Trump any names or anything like that, but just remember, Adolf Hitler got elected.
Well, I don't think it's fair to compare Trump to Hitler and or anybody to Hitler. Hitler was Hitler, but he never got a majority. And in our country right now, the only race in America where you can get fewer votes than the other person and win is the presidency. And that is just plain wrong. And it's happened twice in the last five elections. And Donald Trump got 46.1% of the votes. And Adolf Hitler never got a majority in Germany either. He never got to 46%. I think 43% was his high watermark.
Yeah. Well, he instilled fear in his party. That no one was afraid to stand up to him. And, of course, that's what I see going on right now in Washington. Democrats stood up to Obama if they didn't agree with him, and he didn't get mad at him. He didn't lash out at him.
Well, he knew that if he had done so, it would have been political suicide, where this president lashes out at people and they cheer him on.
Yeah, it's amazing.
They cheer him on.
It's amazing.
And here's a guy, he's the same age as the congressman, and Charlie Malasa is in still good shape. This president is not. The only job, to my knowledge, that he ever had where he worked with his hands was a paper route, and he threw that from the back of a limo. he is not a tough guy, but yet he talks tough, this trash talk, and there's nothing there to back it up. There's no there. Why is there this affinity for him as a, quote, champion of the common man and woman?
It's amazing. The first thing I question is, why would anybody want to work in his administration? If you go in there and you don't do exactly what he says you need to do, even though he's totally wrong, you're gone. I mean, how many acting heads of departments do we have right now? You probably know that number.
Well, we've got a bunch, and we've got a lot of seats open that are in government, too. John in City Place. John, you're on with Charlie Malasa.
Yeah, I'd like to see if Mr. Malasa would agree with something, because they were talking about the tax thing, and I am a lifelong ultra-conservative, but I'm also a numbers guy, and I would say that when Ronald Reagan did his tax cuts back when he got elected, I don't think he ever claimed that it would increase revenue. He was a person that came on and said government needs to have its allowance cut. And when you look at the numbers, if you just took the rate of increase, that's the thing that the Republicans nowadays, that their disingenuous technique, I think, is this. They say, oh, look, revenues increased. What they don't say is that revenues are always increasing and the rate of increase declined.
Good point.
Yeah, you know, I can't argue that.
Just like the stock market. The stock markets should always be at a record high because it goes up. It better go up.
Yeah, if it doesn't go up.
But it hasn't gone up nearly as much under this president as it did under the last.
As a matter of fact, it hasn't really gone up.
In the last few years, it's been stagnant.
I mean,
went up his first year.
Yeah, if you didn't hold some of those tech stocks, you probably didn't see any appreciation.
Gustavo in Goodwood. Gustavo, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Jim, you're a very intelligent man, and it seems to me like you want to get rid of the Electoral College, which would mean that in this case, for example, whatever California decides to be, because they're a huge state, that would be what we would have to live with in regard to a presidential campaign. That is not correct. And Mr. Melanson, please, you're saying that President Trump hasn't accomplished anything. Have you taken a look at the GDP?
He's been riding that GDP for a long time, but I don't see, the GDP is holding. It is not growing to the extent that they claim it is. Mm-hmm. Unemployment's holding. But let's go back to when Obama was president and the Congress had to bail out this country. Had we not done that, there would be no GDP to talk about. This country and the entire world would have had some real serious problems. You talk about Ford and Chrysler and Chevrolet and all the car manufacturers, and if you go to other countries, Toyota and Nissan had their same problems back then.
William in Opelousas. Hi, William. You're on with Charlie Melanson.
Hi, Jim, and hi, Mr. Melanson.
Hello.
I just want to say, in my opinion, Governor Edwards has done a wonderful job, and he's done it with Republicans. So I believe it's time for us to quit this Democrat and Republican thing and start looking at people as who they are.
I agree with you.
877-217-5757 is your number. Charlotte in Iberia Parish. Charlotte, you're on with Congressman Melanson.
Thank you. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
I'm calling to ask whether there's any agreement that some people who vote have become enamored with celebrity, and that is how Reagan was favored because he was in the movies and was elected governor, and then they had another governor, Schweitzer, whom rode the same celebrity-type train.
Schwarzenegger.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That's okay. Go ahead.
And the current president, because people say, I like him on TV, as opposed to looking at candidates and other legislators who have done things for the people.
I think that's it's a trend. I hope it doesn't continue. Although I wasn't really totally opposed to Ronald Reagan and the things that he did.
Bridget in Mid-City. Hi, Bridget, you're on.
Charlie, my family's from up the bayou in Belrose, Louisiana, sugarcane farmers as well. Talk to the disastrous trade policies that this president has.
Well, this is the first time in my lifetime that I've watched the president malign his allies and hug and enamor himself with our enemies, and the trade policies are going. It's hurting the farmers. Of course, he's trying to figure out now. He's trying to, I guess, he's trying to get together with China to see what he can do to save that element of his base, the agriculture base.
We'll return and spend a few more minutes with Congressman Walsall after this brief timeout. This is Jim Inkster. A few more minutes with Charlie Melanson, the former congressman. Eric in Austin writes, millennials and iGen voters are considered to vote overwhelmingly for Democrats. Is the same true for Louisiana's young voters, or have most of the liberal-leaning ones like myself, Eric says, left for different states?
I'm not sure. It's hard to say. I think in the metropolitan areas, probably more so. But I haven't done an analysis. That's something maybe Roy Fletcher can help you with when he comes
on. He'll be on tomorrow. Yeah. And he is a Trumpster and, of course, also represented Franklin Foyle in a race that goes on. We'll talk with him tomorrow. And, Congressman, as always, good to see you. Glad you're doing well.
Pleasure.
And best to you and Peachy.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.